Anyway, my name is Chris Canale, and I'm director of the San Luis Valley Ecosystem Council. We're a public lands advocacy organization in this, surrounding the San Luis Valley. And this project called SLV LEPI stands for San Luis Valley Landscape Environmental Assessment Plan, Health-Inspired Goals for Humans. And the reason that I wanted to start here is because it really gets us to understand that especially environmental organizations have to look at everything on a landscape level. Because we're looking at corridors, we're looking at huge tracts of land, and that's how we drive policy and make decisions. The San Luis Valley, just so everyone knows, is located in South Central Colorado, and we are at the headwaters of the Rio Grande, and we are a huge land base. We're at 7,500 feet in altitude. We're considered the highest subalpine valley in the United States, 122 miles long and 70 miles wide, and approximately 50,000 people. So I just wanted to go back really quick and show you something. This is Mount Blanca, what you're seeing there. And Mount Blanca is also known as Cisnagini by the Native American communities. It's one of the four sacred mountains, the one furthest to the east in the Four Corners area. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because Mount Blanca is no longer white all year round. It used to always have snow cover all year round, but that is no longer the case. Just to kind of pull in a little bit here, we are surrounded by mountains. We have the San Juan Mountains on the western side and the Sangre de Cristo Mountains on the eastern side. So basically, there's four passes, four ways to get into the valley other than going up the river corridor. And this obviously is important for our watersheds. The mountains provide all of our water. And they, especially from the western side of the valley, they estimate about 80% actually comes from the San Juan Mountains and feeds our aquifers. We have a high intensive agricultural community there. And some families have been there for about eight generations. So there's a very, very strong sense of place. And when I moved there 25 years ago, a rancher told me, you will never keep an environmental community sustained here. It's just not going to happen. Well, I'm here to tell you that it has sustained itself over these last 25 years. We have 3.1 million acres of public lands that surround the valley. And the reason I'm giving you all this description is because I really want you to understand that there's a very strong sense of place here. Communities all know each other and take care of each other. So, the Ecosystem Council has been involved in NEPA, the National Environmental Policy Act. And we've been involved in NEPA and bringing the public into discussion on a variety of issues, whether it had to do with large-scale development, travel management planning on public lands, gas and oil development, renewable energy development, or acts of Congress like the Sangre de Cristo National Heritage Area, which is trying to protect cultural and environmental resources. So why would an environmental organization get involved in household well testing, which is what we ended up doing in 2006? The reason is we wanted to bring that landscape level of understanding and make it more personal for households so that people would start connecting what they're drinking in their household with what was happening up in the mountains and really become more connected to that and want to protect that. So we thought we were being really smart when we were connecting environmental health is the foundation for public health. And then, of course, I got my PACE EH handbook and realized that it's one of the main foundations for the handbook. But we actually came up with it on our own. Because we figured that if people were protecting the environment, then they were absolutely protecting their public health. So what we did in 2006 is Tammy Thomas Burton, who's in the middle there with a headband up there, came down to the San Luis Valley because EPA Environmental Justice Region 8 realized that about a third of the households in the valley relied on household wells, but there was no one regulating those wells, no one overseeing what might be going on with the water that people were drinking. So she came down, and we had, and together she and I and a whole group of community leaders throughout the valley put together a household well testing project, and it was free to the public. By the way, we couldn't announce it until 2 weeks before the money actually got to the regional office. So we literally had 2 weeks to promote this thing, and we got 417 households to respond, which is pretty extraordinary. And the results very quickly of those 417 households, 28 over a quarter, 0.5, came back positive for bacteria. And there's also total coliforms and E. coli, 16.1, 3.4%. But also, we couldn't test everybody for everything because we were basically doing four tests: bacteria, nitrates, heavy metals, and basically those. That was a gist. Even though the heavy metals obviously had many different metals that were tested. But in terms of the nitrates, and we were concerned about that because of the agricultural community, 1.4% came back above MCL levels, EPA MCL levels. 12.5% came back for arsenic, and this is out of 192 wells. 1.4 for lead, 3.6 for fluoride, and 3.1% uranium. So basically, we were realizing that people were consuming a lot more in their water than I think that they had realized. We knew that there was an arsenic issue in the valley, but what we didn't realize is that there's naturally occurring arsenic all over the valley. Okay. So in 2007, we ended up receiving a Friends of Environmental Protection Award, and EPA came down and it was a really great meeting with a lot of the key players. And we also received that year a community problem-solving grant. So what we were able to do is take the information and work that we did in 2006 and really build upon it and really build a lot more community infrastructure and awareness. We ended up developing a lot of partners. And as you can see, we worked very hard on bringing in all the public health staffs throughout the valley. There are six counties, so there's six distinct public health nursing staffs. But we also involved nonprofits, water users, Department of Agriculture. It was an amazing group of partners. The county commissioners throughout the valley were very supportive. And I just want to highlight that CSU, Colorado State University Extension Office, was an incredible support in this next phase of the project. They were an incredible partner. They brought in easily about $20,000 just to develop curriculum, develop outreach material, and also pay for the nitrate testing that we did in the next round. So, this next round, we got a lot more sophisticated, and we started mapping everything on GIS, which CSU also helped us with. So, this next go-around, we mapped 337 points. That's the households, amount of households we were able to test. And this time, we didn't so much focus on bacteria. We focused on the things, because people were getting much more sophisticated, by the way. At this point, I need to tell you, people collected their own water. They met at a certain place, and they dropped it off, and then we took it to the lab for them. And I got to tell you that people were getting a lot more sophisticated by this point. They wanted to know what was in their water. It wasn't just about bacteria testing anymore. They wanted to know about the nitrates. They wanted to know about the heavy metals. They were getting a lot more sophisticated and were asking better questions. And when we did presentations, we had incredible discussions, and easily there was 60, 70 people that would show up at a meeting, and they were very interested about what was happening with their water, their drinking water. So just very briefly, we mapped all this and were able to give out a lot of information. This is, arsenic was obviously a big issue for us, and 12 wells were over the EPA MCL levels, and we have those mapped now throughout the valley. We also tested for nitrates, nitrites. Five wells were above the EPA MCL level, and then six wells were between 5 and 10 parts per million. So we saw that as you know, on the high level, though not over MCL levels. And we also had a lot of other health concerns. Iron, there's a lot of iron in the valley, not just low pH, but high pH, and sodium levels. So we were able to look at this, and depending on who called and what their results were, we were able to help them figure out what they might want to do to problem solve. Now, again, these tests were offered free to the public, but people worked very, very hard, number one, to figure out what they got, what they're doing, and what they could do to problem solve with the least amount of cost as possible. So, some of the treatment options, obviously shock chlorination, reverse osmosis in some cases, filters, drilling a new well, which obviously isn't a great option for people. A lot of people just had to stop using their well, and also bottled water. So we did a lot of education around keeping wells safe, physical environment, storage of chemicals, regular maintenance, and testing. And what was interesting about this is we actually did, because the whole reason for this community problem solving grant was to basically try and change behavior. That was the motivation for the grant. And so we ended up doing follow-up phone calls, and we had great people doing interviews, and they would, you know, if they needed to spend a half hour or an hour with somebody, it was, we worked with Seniors Inc. So we had senior citizens basically calling people who had time, and they asked them about, you know, the well test and what happened and what their, how they feel they were able to, did the education impact their behavior? And these are the results. Do you plan to have your well tested in the future? The majority of people, obviously, yes. Do you believe a better understanding of your well maintenance and upkeep? Yes. There were people, by the way, that were on third-generation wells that didn't even realize they had to have their well tested. Do you believe you are better able to monitor your well? People, obviously, agreed that they were in a much better situation in terms of being able to maintain their own systems. This is an empowerment type of project because you give people information, you give them opportunities, you give them the right tools, and they will do what's best for their families. We had definite documentation of positive behavior results, starting a well maintenance file, which we were given by CSU, who did tremendous research, and actually developing a file that had all these check marks on it. So as people put stuff in the file, they could go, yeah, I've got this. Yeah, I've got that. Yeah, I've got that. And it was a way for people to be able to keep all the information in one place, not, you know, keep it strewn around wherever, you know, it might end up. And it was a blue folder, and then there was a yellow folder for septic. And so people would be able to find it very easily, and it really helped them to be able to keep all their information all in one place. We ended up, I think, for the most part, getting very positive results from the project to the point where people keep calling us all the time asking us if we're going to do it again. But the best part about it was the public health departments are very, very involved right now. And in rural America, especially in a place like the San Luis Valley, what we are dealing with is public health departments that have no environmental health components to their public health departments. So what we were able to do is work with the public health departments, and because of legislation that was passed in 2008 in Colorado, and this actually addresses Ross's question, is that we now have a Public Health Act that is encouraging development of environmental health departments within their public health departments, especially in rural communities. So basically, the program that we started, especially around household wells, is now something that our public health departments can take on and institutionalize, which is the whole point. We want to be able to take all this information and develop the tools for our public health departments to then be able to do the same kind of work as we move into the future. And we got a lot of great support from them now, and they're all on board, and they're all attending meetings. How did that happen? One, we fed everybody. And two, because public health departments are overworked and underfunded, we found money for them to be able to come. And that's the difference. This was a public-private partnership. We got funding from several foundations, not just the EPA, but obviously the EPA was the backbone to make this work. So if anybody has any questions, I'd love to be able to respond.
So when you were first talking about doing the testing, the first thing that came to my mind was, boy, their local health department just must have been overrun, because in Oklahoma, that's where you go to have your well tested. You take a sample, and you know, then they'll do the testing. And so it sounds like they weren't doing that already.
No.
And also, how are you addressing like the arsenic and uranium? Because in Oklahoma, they're like almost having to pipe water or buy it from other places to try to get around that.
Yeah, and that's a very good question, and it depends, obviously, on the situation. The city of Alamosa, for example, now obviously has a very sophisticated facility to deal with the arsenic that's there, because they're using groundwater as well. When it comes to individual households, each one is dealing with it in their own unique way, depending on their situation. But we've been working pretty closely with them, and we're trying to find funding in the case of a new well, for example. Or reverse osmosis is one solution. And unfortunately, you need a tremendous amount of water to be able to use the system. So it depends on what sort of well they have, whether or not they have the capacity to be able to use the system. So each situation is different. I do, and I have to say that this valley, by the way, the Secretary of the Interior Ken Salazar, actually grew up in the San Luis Valley. And people there are very sophisticated about water. Up until now, it's been water quantity. They understand water quantity really well. I mean, they're, you know, because they need it to survive. And it's, you know, it's an isolated place, and up until about 50 years ago. So people really had to figure out water. And but the water quality piece is something that people just really hadn't thought about before, and you're absolutely right. We took the opportunity, being an environmental organization, to talk to people about what was happening up in the mountains. And when I talk about travel management planning, which sounds really boring to people, the reality is you want to keep off-road vehicles off riparian areas. It's just not good for the watersheds. And so we were able to kind of introduce some of these other ideas as we talked about their well.
Last question.
I think the best way to answer that, and that's really the reason that I work so hard to bring the public health departments in, myself and other individuals, because we realized really for the longevity of this project, we were going to have to find a way to empower our public health departments. And for example, this last grant that we wrote you know, all the public health departments are getting a piece of it. I mean, that's the only way it's going to work. And we also brought in, and now we're in the process of bringing in doctors, and they have bag lunches, for example. You know, it's pretty cash. So we're going to come, and we're going to do these presentations, and we're going to keep talking to them. And eventually, you know, it's going to be something that I think everyone is going to benefit from. The public health departments, obviously, because they're supposed to be doing this anyway. They're supposed to be developing this part to their departments. So that's really, in terms of the longevity, how we're planning on doing it is for lack of a better word, institutionalizing it. We have just received a CARE Level 1 grant, community assessment for a renewed environment, and through the EPA, we just received that this year. So that's going to help us to really build capacity for the public health departments. So thank you very much for asking that question. I wanted to end with that. I completely forgot. Yeah. So did you have a quick question?
Is there state funding attached to the support for local health departments also?
This is grant funded, but hopefully we'll work on that piece too.